I am James Corbett, and this is Economics 101. Joining me today is F. William Engdahl, a researcher, writer, and analyst who's the author of such books as Seeds of Destruction and Full Spectrum Dominance, Totalitarian Democracy in the New World Order. Mr. Engdahl, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you, James. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we mentioned some of your earlier books, but I understand that you're currently just putting the finishing touches on a new book, The Gods of Money, Wall Street, and the Death of the American Century. What can you tell us about that work?
There's a very lively debate, and has been for centuries, actually, about what really is money and how does it work. And what I realized is that most of the debate goes after a red herring and talks about quantity theory of money or the Keynesian approach or the Friedmanite approach or this or that and the other thing. And they all miss the central point. Money is primarily and fundamentally a political factor, a politically backed promise to pay between individuals, between nations and groups of nations. And ultimately, money on the question of who has the power and what their agenda is. Nothing. There's no magic about money. There's no magic about gold. And I decided to write the money book based on a quote from Henry Kissinger attributed to sometime in the middle of the 1970s when he was Secretary of State and National Security Advisor to the President in the U.S. And Kissinger said, if you control oil, it's possible to control whole nations. If you control food, you're able to control people. If you control money, you're able to control the entire world. And that literally is what the agenda is of the what I call the gods of money. It's not so much about this current crisis, but the reason I call it Wall Street and the Death of the American Century, I look at the etiology of the disease. I look at the morphology of the financial system in the United States as it came first in a growth mode, a perverse growth mode, but a growth mode to replace the pound sterling and the British sterling preference area after World War II. Then it got into a crisis when its own gold reserves had become depleted. The European economies had rebuilt after World War II. They now were at an industrial state of the art that was more advanced than the U.S. plant and equipment for the most part, and were able to create trade surpluses and accumulate dollars for their trade. And they were the central banks in Europe, France and Germany especially, back in the late 1960s, began demanding gold for their dollars, especially during the Vietnam War. They said, America is running deficits. We, in effect, are financing the American Vietnam War, which we fundamentally disagree with, through those deficits and through the inflation of the dollar, irrespective of the gold backing. So de Gaulle and others in Europe demanded physical gold from the Federal Reserve. When that gold reached a crisis point in August of 1971, Nixon pulled the plug on the dollar gold backing. He unilaterally tore up the Bretton Woods Treaty of 1944 and said to the rest of the world, we are the global military superpower. Go to hell, in effect, is what he said. Excuse my French. And most of the world during the Cold War had little or no chance to oppose. De Gaulle was a fairly feisty person and tried to pursue an independent French geopolitics. He tried to create a certain kind of detente with the Russians because he saw many ways that the Americans had manipulated a Cold War tension to keep Europe under its economic thumb. And the result of that was that the American banks and the U.S. Treasury began manipulating a crisis in the French currency back in early 1968. And the crisis led to unrest in the spring, and there's evidence that the U.S. intelligence started sending activists into the student movement in France in May of 68 to create what became the French student revolt that even the Communist Party of France opposed. They saw it as destructive. And 1 year later, De Gaulle was out of power. So the U.S. created a system based on dollar debt after August 71. And the only limit on that dollar debt was the limit of the rest of the world. Japan in the 80s had almost infinite patience because Japan was totally militarily dependent on the U.S. military nuclear umbrella. And in Europe, of course, you had the threat, quote-unquote, of the Soviet nuclear strike force hanging over Germany, hanging over the rest of Europe. So the Europeans were effectively economic satraps of the United States and of the dollar, even though the dollar was being inflated massively because there were no controls, there were no restraints. You're the reserve currency of the world. You have the United States Treasury and the Federal Reserve, an unlimited ability to create money out of whole cloth, and that's what they did. An interesting comparison is in the years from 1950 to 1970, shortly before the ending of the gold-dollar connection, there was a increase of dollar reserves in the world economy of something like 51%. It's almost a flat curve if you graph it out over those 20 years. Then from 1971 until about 2001, there's a 2,900% increase in the amount of dollar reserves floating around the world monetary system. That is the source of global inflation over the past almost 40 years, and that is a source of numerous distortions in the healthy growth of the world economy. Now that dollar debt system has reached the limits of what they can plunder to prop up that debt. And that is really the significance of what started as a subprime real estate crisis in a tiny segment of the U.S. real estate market. It's now a systemic crisis of the entire dollar system. By dollar system, I define the Anglo-American system that was built up at Bretton Woods in 1944, where Britain played a junior role in the American-dominated dollar system after the Second World War. And that system is now in its collapse phase. The banks are being kept alive, Citibank, Morgan Chase, and by artificial life support known as the American taxpayer, future debt of untold trillions of dollars, and the same thing in Britain. There is no economic recovery in sight in America. There is no economic recovery that I can see in Britain. And the rest of Europe is schizophrenic. The European financial elites on the continent are schizophrenic about which way to go. They sense in their guts that the future of Europe lies to the east and not to the west any longer, that the Atlantic is not the key to stability for Europe over the coming decades, but rather the direction of Central Europe, Middle Europe, Russia, China, and the various countries in between in Eurasia, and that has every potential economically in terms of raw material, in terms of energy, in terms of military defense and so forth, that could create a prosperity for, if it's done right, it could create a prosperity for a century or more for the world, ultimately. But that requires a nasty break with the American power elites, and that's something the European elites are very schizophrenic about. Frankly, I think they're terrified.
Well, that's a very interesting inversion that you have of political power and money, where I guess traditional wisdom is that political power stems from money, but you're saying that money really stems from political power, and I think that's an important distinction to make, and one that I certainly will be interested to read about. So, for people who are interested in this book, tell us where and how they'll be able to get their hands on a copy.
The book will be published through Edition Engdahl, in-house publishing, and it will be available on Amazon.com. I don't know, it'll be available in Canada and North America, the U.S., and I'm in negotiations now to try to extend those rights to other Amazon marketers and other countries in the English language version. It's already available in the German language and as well in Chinese, if anybody in your listening area reads Chinese. And So if you go to Amazon.com sometime end of February, early March, it should be available.
All right. And very quickly, tell us your website address so people can find out more information about you and your work.
Okay. They can reach me through my website, www.engdahl.oilgeopolitics, one word, oil, G-O-G-E-O, politics, .net, N-E-T, engdahl.oilgeopolitics.net.
Excellent. Well, Mr. Engdahl, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, James. I enjoyed the talk.